Artemis Fowl. So far, so bad. There was once an Irish boy who longed to know everything there was to know. So he read book after book until his brain swelled with astronomy, calculus, quantum physics, romantic poets, forensic science, and anthropology, among 100 other subjects. But his favourite book was a slim volume which he'd never once read himself. It was an old hardback that his father often chose as a bedtime tale, entitled The Crock of Gold, which told the story of a greedy bucko who captured a leprechaun in a vain effort to steal the creature's gold. When the father had finished reading the last word on the last page, which was fin, he would close the worn leather-bound cover, smile down at his son, and say, "That boy had the right idea. A little more planning, and he would have pulled it off." Which was an unusual opinion for a father to voice. A responsible father, at any rate. But this was not a typically responsible parent. This was Artemis Fowl Sr., the kingpin of one of the world's largest criminal empires. The son was not so typical, either. He was Artemis Fowl II, soon to become a formidable individual in his own right, both in the world of man and the fairy world beneath it. "A little more planning," Artemis Jr. often thought as his father kissed his forehead. "Just a little more planning." And he would fall asleep and dream of gold. As young Artemis grew older, he often thought about the crock of gold. He even went so far as to do a little research during school time and was surprised to find a lot of credible evidence for the existence of the fairy folk. These hours of study and planning were nothing but light-hearted distractions for the boy until the day his father disappeared in the Arctic, following a misunderstanding with the Russian mafia. The Fowl Empire quickly disintegrated, with creditors crawling out of the woodwork and debtors burrowing into it. "It is up to me," Artemis realized, "to rebuild our fortune and find father." So he dusted off the leprechaun folder. He would catch a fairy and ransom it back to its own people for gold. Only a juvenile genius could make this plan a success, Artemis correctly concluded. Someone old enough to grasp the principles of commerce, yet young enough to believe in magic. With the help of his more than capable bodyguard, Butler, 12-year-old Artemis actually succeeded in capturing a leprechaun and holding it captive in Foul Manor's reinforced basement. But this leprechaun was a she, not an it, and remarkably humanoid with it. What Artemis had previously thought of as temporarily detaining a lesser creature now seemed uncomfortably like abducting a girl. There were other complications, too. These leprechauns were not the hokey fairies of storybooks. They were high-tech creatures with attitude, members of an elite fairy police squad, the Lower Elements Police Reconnaissance Unit, or LEP-RECON, to use their acronym. And Artemis had kidnapped Holly Short, the first female captain in the unit's history, an act that had not enamoured him with the well-armed fairy underworld. But in spite of a niggling conscience and LEP attempts to derail his plan, Artemis managed to take delivery of his ill-gotten gold, and in return, he released the elfin captain. So, all's well that ends well? Not really. No sooner had the Earth settled from the first fairy-human standoff in decades than the LEP uncovered a plot to supply the goblin gangs with power sources for their soft-nosed lasers. Number one suspect? Artemis Fowl. Holly Short hauled the Irish boy down to Haven City for interrogation, only to discover, to her amazement, that Artemis Fowl was actually innocent of something. The two struck an uneasy bargain, where Artemis agreed to track down the goblin supplier if Holly would help him to rescue his father from the Russian gang that held him prisoner. Both parties upheld their respective ends of the bargain, and in the process developed a respect and trust for each other that was underpinned by a shared, sharp sense of humour. Or at least, this used to be the case. Recently, things have changed. In some ways, he is as sharp as ever, but a shadow has fallen across Artemis's mind. Once upon a time, Artemis saw things that no one else could see. But now, he sees things that are not there.